Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector, sponsored by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 30. That's right, I said 30, folks, of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program today. We have a great interview with ex-NFL quarterback Greg Landry, who played college ball at UMass and played professional ball with the Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Colts, as well as finishing up his career with the Chicago Bears. And we talk about his college career, his pro career, as well as his feelings about signing autographs and answering his fan mail and TTMing. So hopefully you enjoy our talk with Greg as much as I did. We talked a lot about a lot of things that are interesting. Just wanted to welcome everyone to the program. You can find the podcast all over the place. We are on TuneIn. If you have an Alexa device, all you have to say play TTM podcast, and your Alexa device will play the most current TTM podcast, which is kind of cool now. We are on Spotify, we're on Podbean, we're on Google Listen, we are on iTunes, we're on Twitter. And we have a new forum on sportscardforum.com. So please check out our forum talking about the show and talking about TTM. You can also listen to our show on Sports Card Forum. So please check it out. In addition, I am on Instagram at TTMcast. I am on Twitter at CastTTM. And lastly, I have a website at www.ttmcast.com. So we are all over the internet and social media. Please check us out. Spread the word. Tell your friends about our program. We're gaining listeners every day, and we're hoping to continue into the new year. We have a lot of exciting things coming, and that brings us right up to our first segment, which is Baker's Dozen, which is a brain dump of what's going on in the TTM hobby for the last couple weeks. We had a special bonus show last week. Hope that you caught that with Scott Kozlowski of Sports Card Forum. And the episode before that, we had Mike Jocelyn from Sure Shot Promotions, which leads up to kind of what we've got going on. Our next show will be on next week, November 10th. I've got a lot of interviews that I've done in the last couple weeks, so they're starting back up. So I'm going to have shows every week for the next couple weeks, just to clear out some of my interviews so that they're still timely when you guys hear them. So next week, our next show will be November 10th, we have an interview with Dave Strage. Dave is the new sports editor at Sports Collectors Digest, and we had a great talk about collecting, the hobby, TTMing, and some of the plans he has for Sports Collectors Digest, and that will be on next week's show. Next week's show, we will also have a review of the Greater Boston Sports Collectors Club big show that's happening this weekend in Wilmington, Massachusetts. I am going to the show today is Friday night, November 1st, so I'm going to the show on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd. I will be trying to see if we can get some interviews for future shows. I will be getting a few autographs for my 1978 set and my 1992 game day set. Some guys that don't sign through the mail, but some superstars that will be at the show. And we'll also be looking out to pick up and add to our collection. So next week's show, we will also review all my finds and time at the Greater Boston Sports Collectors Club show, which is this weekend at the Wilmington, in Wilmington, Mass, at the Shriners Auditorium. Just a couple things of interest that I noticed. Our friend Nick Deonte from Baseball Happenings, who does yeoman's work always writing articles, and he's been writing articles lately for Forbes. So I would recommend going to Forbes.com and type in baseball cards in the search, and you'll see some of Nick's articles. He had a great article about author Eric Moskowitz, who detailed how he got back into collecting and found the whole subculture of case busters and pack busters. So Eric Moskowitz wrote a great article in The Atlantic, and Nick Deonte wrote an article about Eric in Forbes magazine. So it's kind of a 2-for-1. You can read Eric's Nick's article about Eric, and you can read Eric's article about pack busting box busting. So it's a great article, and I would recommend checking both of the articles out. As I said, Nick does a lot of writing for, he has his own site, baseballhappenings.net. He also has his own podcast at Baseball Happenings, and he's been writing a lot of articles, really interesting articles lately on at Forbes magazine. So go to Forbes.com and you get a 2-for-1 when you read Nick's article. Also, our friend Todd Tobias from PSA, he was on the show a couple months ago, and he wrote a great article for PSA's blog about it's titled "Who Wants a Fascinating TTM Project?" And Todd's been doing great work writing a lot of articles about collecting and TTMing, and I recommend you check out Todd's article on PSA in the PSA blog. And if you haven't signed up for the PSA Insider newsletter, which they send out, it's a free newsletter, I recommend signing up for that free newsletter, because it's a fun newsletter, and there's always great articles in the newsletter. Now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who passed away a few years ago. I didn't realize it, and I sent out a TTM request to Mr. Vern Rapp, and I was kind of embarrassed by it. So I do this as a service to our fellow collectors so that they don't have the same faux pas that I do. We lost a few people the past week or two in the sports world. We lost Ron Fairley, who had a 21-year major league career with the Dodgers and Expos and Cardinals and A's and Blue Jays, and finished up with the Angels. He's got all sorts of cards. I had got an autograph from him on for my 78 set, I don't know, maybe about a year ago. And he obliged, and he's always been a friend to the hobby and a friend to the TTM community. We lost Mr. Fairley. He was 81 years old. Football Hall of Famer Mr. Willie Brown, who was a legendary Oakland Raider cornerback, passed away. He was 78. Eric Cooper, who was a longtime Major League umpire, he was 52. I know a lot of people collect umpires' autographs. This is not one of the things that I collect, but if you do collect umpires' autographs, Major League Baseball umpires' autographs, we lost Mr. Cooper, who was 52. We lost Bernie Parrish, who was a defensive back for the Cleveland Browns back in the 50s and early 60s. He was 83. And we lost Bobby Del Greco, who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Chicago Cubs, St. Louis Cardinals, New York Yankees, Philadelphia Phillies, and the Kansas City A's. From 1952 to 1965, Mr. Del Greco was a infielder, not a great hitter, but a fantastic fielder in his day. I know he's featured in a bunch of Topps cards of that era, including 1953 as a Pirate, and we lost Mr. Bobby Del Greco. So our condolences go out to their families. Sorry for their loss. And please refrain from sending out TTM requests to these gentlemen. And now on to returns for the last 2 weeks. I've kind of slowed down in terms of sending out stuff, but work has kind of piled up. We've got a lot of things going on in life. So the last couple weeks, I've kind of slowed down sending out requests, but I have been getting returns. They've been trickling in. So let's talk. We'll do baseball first, and then we'll go right into football. So I got a return from Rupert Jones, who played for the Seattle Mariners and Detroit Tigers and Stars Career, I think, with the New York Yankees. And I don't think he had a card with the Yankees, but I sent out a 78 card to Rupert Jones, and I got a Mimeo saying that he now is with Pass Pro. So I wasn't aware of that. I had saw that he was signing on one of the sites and got the card back unsigned. So Rupert Jones is now with Pass Pros. He is no longer signing for free. And I got three cards back from Sean Dunston, who played for the Chicago Cubs. I sent out one card to Mr. Dunston, and I got three back, which is always nice. Took about 2 years. So not quite sure how you feel about waiting 2 years to get three cards back when you only sent out one, but it was very nice of Sean Dunston to send back, so I got three cards back from him. I got a 1990 Donruss, and I got a 1992 Topps, which is the one that I sent to him, and then we got a 1989 Donruss, I think this is Donruss. Got an 89 Donruss as well. So two Donruss back from Sean Dunston's, which were not mine, and a Topps, 92 Topps. Mr. Dave Goltz, who pitched for the Minnesota Twins in the 70s, I got a 1976 Topps back from him, and I got a 1978 Victory Leaders. So I got him to sign that. I've got now I got to send out to Dennis Leonard and Jim Palmer, and Steve Carlton is on that one. I'm not sure if Carlton signs, but I know Palmer and Dennis Leonard signed, but they charge. So I've got to see what I want to do about that and try to get those additional signatures in that. Those took about, I don't know, maybe less than 2 weeks. Dunston took about 2 years. And Rupert Jones was probably about a month coming back, but no return, no signature. Got a couple additional additions to my 1978 top set. I got Tommy Boggs from the Texas Rangers on the 78 tops, and that took about a year. But we did get it back. Very pleased. I need that for my collection. And then I got one of my favorite cards growing up. I got a 1978 Mike Paxton, who played for the Boston Red Sox. And this card is very much an airbrush. It looks like it was a painting that was done of him. I'm not quite sure. But it was I always liked the card because it was kind of quirky looking. And it looked like someone watercolored Mike Paxton. And this was the third time I sent it out to Mike Paxton. And I finally got him back. And that took a couple months. That's it for baseball. Football, I got four returns on football. My first return I got was Ted Johnson, who played for the New England Patriots. He signed a nice three-time Super Bowl champ on the card. It's a Panini Classic from last year, and card number 199. And I took a shot, and I sent it out to Ted Johnson, and he signed it, which was kind of cool. And it took about, I don't know, 3 weeks maybe. I got three additions to my 1992 game day set. One was a duplicate, but we'll talk about that in a second. I got Kelvin Martin from the Dallas Cowboys, and I just checked yesterday. I had sent this out back in February, and it just came back actually yesterday on Halloween, so you can do the math on that. But he did sign a nice big signature on the card. Signed Cowboys number 83 on it. Very pleased to have add that to my collection. I got Tony Mandrich from the Green Bay Packers, who was a guard, and he signed the card in green. So a 92 game day, Tony Mandrich, my first green TTM. And he signed his name and his number, and it took about a month to get that one back. Then I got another return from Jeff George, who played for the Indianapolis Colts. He's a friend of the hobby. He's always signing. I had sent a second request to Mr. George a while, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I got that one back. I know it was my second request that I got back, because my second request, I had sent out two cards to him. I sent him the game day card, and I sent them a Pro Set card, and he signed both of those. And then he just sent back my original submission, which was probably about, I don't know, 8 months ago. So now I have a duplicate of Jeff George. It is personalized. So if anyone's that's named Jeff and is looking for a Jeff George game day card, send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, that's my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. If you name Jeff and you're interested in the Jeff George card, or you just need a Jeff George card, game day card for a space holder, let me know, and I can certainly send it your way, no charge. First come gets the card. First person that sends me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com can have the Jeff George card for nothing. And that wraps up the returns for the week. As I said, it was pretty steady returns. Most days I was getting one or two. A couple days here and there I didn't get anything. I don't envision having money returns in the next couple weeks, just because I haven't sent anything out in 2 weeks. I'm going to try to get back into it next week. Sending out a few requests. I'm finding that a lot of the guys that are signing are guys that I already have, and I'm trying to complete these sets, so I'm getting kind of hitting the wall in a lot of my sets now, in terms of guys that I already have that are regular signers, and I think I have to start taking some chances. But I did buy an unopened box, which I opened, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago now, of game day cards. So I have some duplicates now that I can take a chance on and send out, because I'll still have a full set, even if the card doesn't come back. And for our final segment, one of my favorite interviews that I've done since I started doing this podcast back in January, I got to talk to a graduate from my alumni. I'm a UMass grad from class of 1987. I got to talk to Greg Landry, who starred at UMass Amherst in the late 60s as a star quarterback, and then went on to fame in the NFL, playing 10 or 11 years with the Detroit Lions, played a couple years with the Baltimore Colts, where he had won comeback player of the year as when Burt Jones got hurt. He came in and was the starter for Burt Jones and had one of his best years later in his career, and then he finished up his career with the Chicago Bears. So we talk football, we talk UMass, we talk about collecting, and it was a thrill to talk to a legend in my mind and a fellow UMass alumni. I hope you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTMcast hotline is former NFL Pro Bowl quarterback, Mr. Greg Landry. We're talking to Mr. Landry from his home in Michigan. Welcome to the program, Mr. Landry.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Very good. We're both UMass grads, and I'd like to just dive right into talking about your time at UMass. It must have been something, going to a small school at the time, a small football school like UMass. Was NFL or, a pro career on your mind when you entered college?
No, it wasn't. It was all I wanted to do was coach, and I had a real good high school coach and football coach and teacher that I wanted to emulate. And when I was going to pick out a school, I was going to pick out a school where I was hoping that I would be able to play football and learn a little bit more about the game, but graduate with a teaching degree and then hopefully look for a job in New England.
And you had a stellar career at UMass. You're in the UMass Hall of Fame. And you were all conference, all Yankee conference for two seasons. And coming out of UMass at the time. It definitely wasn't a football factory, correct?
That's correct. There was I think we had Milt Morin was a tight end. I think he was from Leominster, and he played in Cleveland with the Browns. He was a first round draft pick and played with them for about 10 or 11 years. So we did have some players that were good enough to play in pro football. I think Mears was one that played with the Minnesota Vikings, and Phil Vandersee with Green Bay. Those players were ahead of me by just 1 year. But they nevertheless, they played pro football. So Dick Fuchsia was the head coach at UMass at the time, and he really brought in some real good players from around New England.
Yeah, I actually went back to the archives, as you know, I went to UMass as well, and went back and looked at some of the old collegians, and was reading about your time at UMass, and you had a great career there, and you got drafted first in the first round, 11th, by the Detroit Lions coming out. Were you hoping that the Patriots took you, or do you want to stay in New England, or you were just happy to get drafted?
No, I was just happy to get drafted. I didn't. I had no idea that where I would get drafted. But that summer of my senior year, Bobby Lane was a quarterback that he played in the NFL and with the Detroit Lions, and also he was involved with the Dallas Cowboys. And he came up into my hometown, gave me a call, and wanted me to run the 40 and played catch with me for a little bit. He says, "Well, I think you might be drafted." So I thought. The fall came and I had a real nice senior year, and so I said, gee, maybe I'll get drafted. So and then what happened is that I got a phone call from the head coach of the Lions, Joe Schmidt, and he said, "Greg, we just drafted you." I said, "Okay, to where?" He said, "With the Detroit Lions." I said, "Great." He said, "Okay, I'll be in touch. Bye." Took click, and that was it.
Had you ever been to Michigan, or had you traveled to Detroit at all? Did you know much about the city?
I was recruited by Michigan State, and I flew. That was the first time I ever flew a plane. Was up there and went around their campus, which was huge. And I said, "Well, there's some nice people here, but I this school's a little bit too big for me." And I thought I wanted to stay in the New England area, and so I said, "I'm hoping I could pick out a school in New England and do well in football and, like, get a job with coaching and also with teaching." And so that's when I settled on UMass. I thought that they had a nice, football program. And I thought if I did well there, that would help me get a job.
Yep, see, the UMass education always works for you, right?
Yes, it is.
And you had a stellar career with the Lions and the NFL. Played, 10 seasons or 12 seasons with the Lions?
I played 11 with Detroit.
11, and then finished up with the Colts. And you actually played one game with the Chicago Bears. How did that transpire?
Well, I ended up, when I was playing with the Colts, I played there for 3 years and then was let go. And they were starting a whole new program of getting everybody, just letting all the veterans go and starting with a new program. But at the same time, there was the United States Football League was starting. And so I've gotten a call from a couple of the NFL teams to come down and try out. They wanted to, see if they wanted to put me on. And then I got a call from George Allen, who was had a great career, coaching with the Chicago Bears and the Washington Redskins. And he was going to be the head coach of this team in Chicago. And so I talked it over with Janine. I said, "Well, this league will probably stay in business for a couple of years, but I could learn a lot about coaching from George." And so, and then hopefully stay in the NFL or get into a college. And so I said, "Yeah, I'll go." And so I played 2 years there in the USFL. And what happened is after the final year, we were in the championship game and we got beat by the team from Philadelphia. But that fall, I got a call from George Allen saying, hey, have you kept in shape, Greg? And of course, you're going to say yes. He said, well, Mike Ditka just lost his quarterbacks, and he needs somebody to finish the season. This was towards the end of the season in December. So I said, sure, I'll go. So I called Mike Ditka up, who's the head coach, and he said, I need somebody to finish the season with. We think we're going to have a quarterback for the playoffs, but we don't know. Now, the Bears had won the Super Bowl the year before, and so this is the year after.
Okay.
But they were still a great team. And so I flew out there to Chicago, and the first game they had was I had gotten there on a Thursday, and so that Sunday Walter Payton played quarterback. They didn't have a quarterback that was healthy enough.
Wow.
And so the next game was going to be against Detroit in Detroit, and Mike said, well, would you like to play that game? I said, sure. And he said, well, we put all the plays on your wrist, and but you'll be fine. So that was the game I played, and we beat Detroit. It was a big score, but we beat Detroit. Of course, the Bears had a great team at that time. And we went to the playoffs. We went to the championship game, and then Joe Montana was with San Francisco, and he beat us. But a chance I had to play with Chicago, and got to know Mike Ditka, and he said, would you like to go into coaching? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I can't do it this year, but maybe next year or the year after, I'll give me a call. So he ended up, I ended up going to Cleveland Browns. They called me, and I coached 1 year there. And then I had Bernie Kosar as a rookie, and Gary Danielson was the quarterback from Detroit. They traded him to Cleveland, so he was kind of like a veteran that would back up Bernie. And so I had 1 year with them, and then Ditka called. They had gone to the Super Bowl, and Ditka lost some coaches, and so he hired me, and I played there for 7 years. And first year was as a wide receiver coach, but after that I was the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. And then I spent 12 years in the NFL, and then ended up coaching with Detroit the last 2 years. And then I just, that time our kids were getting older. We had 5 children, and Janine said, we're tired. I'm tired of traveling. And I said, I don't doubt it. And so I got into a rep business, the manufacturer's rep, and I started a small company in Michigan. And now my son, Greg, has taken over. So it's worked out real well. And the city of Detroit has been a real good place for me to stay. I live outside in one of the suburbs in Troy, but I've really enjoyed my post career not being in football in the Detroit area.
Yeah, I mean, you've had a stellar career as a player, as a college player, as a coach, and you made the Pro Bowl 1 year. You also won Comeback Player of the Year, so you have to hang around a long time to win Comeback Player of the Year.
Well, either that or you get hurt. I had two surgeries and came back and had a real good year, and that's why they selected me Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah, and you got to be teammates with coach a lot of great players, and you got to live one of my dreams of actually being on a football card.
Yeah, lucky. I was on a bunch of them.
Now, do you have a favorite card from when you were playing? We're a collector's show, and people are collect your cards, and they're always sending you cards.
No, they send me all of, I've gotten all of them, and what I've gotten in the last few years is like 8 by 11, you know, the bigger, larger pictures.
Yep.
And a lot of them are from games around the country that we played in, and yeah, I could see the visiting team or home team on the other, you know, on the picture with me. I signed, people have sent me footballs. They've sent me a ton of those little small helmets.
Yep.
And get cards. And I'm surprised I still get them. I said I've been out of the league for a long, long time. But I think back when we got the cards, it was Tops. It was a bubble gum, and they'd be but you get a piece of stick of gum, and you'd get like 5 or 6 cards. But that was the only card dealer that was actually had the football, the NFL players on the cards, where say when the Barry Sanders era came, there's like 4 or 5 different cards that you could get.
So
with my era, it was just one card. So I still get quite a few from around the country. And it you know, it's nice to get them, but I'm getting tired.
So you do get a lot of requests every week?
Yeah, well, I probably get about 7 or 8 a week now. And
okay.
And then every once in a while I'll get a 8 by 10 picture, and or I'll get it seems like every year I usually get a couple little helmets to sign.
Sure.
And then because I play in 3 teams, I get through 3 you know, the area. I got the Tops that I was on in the Baltimore area. I got that, so I get a lot of those a lot of cards from the Baltimore and Washington area in that area.
Now, do you have any memorabilia from when you were playing, uniforms or helmets, or do you have a man cave set up with all your
Well, you know what's really interesting is that back when I first started playing, you know, they weren't selling shirts or anything. You know, they were selling nothing at that time. And what we did is we ended up getting these. We got 2 jerseys a year, and they were thick. And if you ended up tearing it a little bit, they would sew it for the next game. So what I've got these individual. Hello, am I still
yep.
on?
You still okay. are on. Yes.
We just got those 1 jersey, and now there's all kind of jerseys all over the place. And then when they ask me to do something an event, they'll usually give me a jersey with Landry and 11 on it. But I still have the old ones that I collected.
That's cool. Do you have them in a frame someplace, or do you?
Well, I'm trying to collect. I was collecting them to give them to my children. I have 5 kids. I have 3 girls and 2 boys. But now I've got 14 grandchildren. So
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm trying to collect every time I do an event for the Lions, they give me a jersey. So I'm in the process of collecting all those. And then I had enough game balls that I got from when I was with the Bears and also with the Lions and the Colts. And so I've given some of those to my kids, and I'm going to give the rest of them to my grandkids, whoever ends up playing football.
Now, were you a collector as a kid? Did you collect cards or
No, I collected baseball cards. I wasn't, you know, there wasn't any football programs in the New England area. You know, your closest was the Giants, the New York Giants, or the Cleveland Browns. But I never collected, you know, the football. I wasn't a great football fan because you couldn't get them on TV, you know, back then.
Now, did you get to keep them, or did your mom throw them away?
No, we've collected them along the way, and sometimes what I'll do is when I get a picture, I'll get a card, I'll get a couple cards, and then they'll, in the letter that they send to me, they'll say, if you want to take one, you can take one or take two. And so I've, through the years, I've just amassed a collection that I can give to my grandkids.
That's great. Now, I was speaking with your wife last week, and she said that she's never seen you turn away a request for an autograph. Where does that come from? Because some guys don't like to sign autographs, or some guys are shy, or some guys, you know, see it a bother, but it doesn't seem to. It seems like you relish that, you know, being asked for an autograph.
Well, it was an honor for me to, you know, back then it was an honor to play in the pro league, that I was that good to play professional football, and I never did it myself, but I thought if I was a young kid, I'd certainly be thrilled to get an autograph card signed. So I just thought it would be just something that I would do to hopefully make a young boy happy, you know, and so that's why I've signed them all these years, and I still sign them.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it as a hobby. I know Joe DiMaggio once said that they asked him, why you play so high on a rainy day in May, and he said, well, because somebody in the stands, it might be their first time that they've ever seen me play, and I want to go all out and you know, give them a good show, and I kind of sensed that was how that was your philosophy as well.
Is it what, I mean, you know, because you see a lot of kids, especially when I played, you'd see kids outside the locker room or as a visiting team, they'd be at the hotel and they'd be asking you for an autograph. And I know some guys just walked right by them, but I didn't. And when I was coaching the Bears, I remember Walter Payton, he would have to practice, just stand around and sign autographs for all these kids that are around. And I thought, geez, you know, you can see the kids walking away, you know, with the real smile on their face that they got this card signed. And I just said that, I think I made a promise when I get to be, you know, older, and if they send me the cards, I'll sign them and send them back.
You know, I mean, I started collecting when I was a little kid, and even today, if I send out a request for an autograph and I get it back, it makes me feel good. It gives me a connection. You had signed one for me a while back. I appreciate it, and it goes to my collection, and I truly cherish that. And I think most people in the hobby appreciate the feedback and the response that you provide.
And the interesting thing for me is satisfying is that all these different card people, the people that want these cards, they'll write a little story about where they saw me play or watched me on TV or, you know, were in the area and they knew I played for that team. And, you know, they kind of like give you a little story of why I became important to them. And so that was why they sent this card, and hopefully I would sign it for them. And I made a lot of great memories for kids, and that was one of the one joys about playing pro football, that you're able to make a lot of kids happy. And when I spoke in the speaking engagements I had, and now it's signing these cards.
Yeah. No, we're speaking with Mr. Greg Landry, who was a former quarterback. He played for the Detroit Lions for 11 years. He played for the Baltimore Colts for three, finished up his career with the Chicago Bears. He also played in the USFL for a couple of years. He coached for the Cleveland Browns and the Chicago Bears and coached in college as well. So he has had a stellar career in football. He was a Pro Bowl quarterback at one time, and he also won Comeback Player of the Year. So he has done just about all in football. Ms. Landry, is there one or two games that stand out in your mind that really, you know, you like that was a great game or a great moment on the field?
for you?
Really, there's not any one game, but what the game that always sticked into my mind, because it was a great weekend, was we played the Thanksgiving Day game, and I guess when it first started, nobody wanted it, so the Lions said, yeah, we'll play on Thanksgiving. So what would happen with us, we'd play on Thanksgiving in Tiger Stadium. And we'd play against some good teams. And right after the game, I'd get in my car and drive to the airport, and we'd get the weekend off, and I'd end up flying back to Boston and driving up to see my folks for Thanksgiving and spend a couple days with them, and sometimes call up some of my old UMass buddies and go talk with them for a long weekend. It was a nice little break for football, because then when we went back, I think we had about three or four games, and then the season was over. So the Thanksgiving games are really special to me, because it was the only game that was on television. And so everybody that wanted to watch it could watch it. And then, like I said, after the game, I could drive to the airport and fly home and spend Thanksgiving with my folks and my family and college friends.
That first or second Thanksgiving, when you weren't with Lions anymore, you must have been like, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be playing football on Thanksgiving. I'm not supposed to be hanging around having turkey.
I know. That was I was with Baltimore, and the first time I was with Baltimore, I was talking with Janine. I said, God, it's strange. I'm practicing on Thanksgiving and not playing on Thanksgiving. And it was strange. But I really enjoyed playing those Thanksgiving Day games. And we won a lot of them. And so I think that probably is why I think fondly of that game.
Well, let's circle back to UMass, and we'll end this interview. I appreciate your time today with speaking with Greg Landry, from former NFL quarterback and the pride of UMass, Amherst. Both him and I are graduates. He graduated a little before I did. I graduated in 1987. You were 1968, is that correct?
68, yes.
So, UMass, have you been back to UMass recently? The last time you went onto campus?
I haven't been on campus since. I ended up being a couple courses shy in '68, and so '69 I spent in the military, and then in '70 I went back and got my degree. And
I don't know if you'd recognize the place then. It's changed.
But when I think back, I played, I had two really, really good friends, Ernie Smith and Jim Mitchell, where Jim Mitchell was a co-captain with me, and Ernie was almost a co-captain also. But the three of us hung around all those 4 years, and we still stay in contact. And it's nice when I have a chance to talk with them, and sometimes we reflect back to some of the games that we played.
That's nice. And I, you know, talking to UMass, I would give you a moment to brag about your wife, who is a UMass alum and in the Hall of Fame as well.
Yes, she was. And she was a 4-year All-American, and I always used to go back on the Thanksgiving weekend. The Easter weekend, and I would go back and I'd see my coach, Vic Fuchsia, who retired from coaching, but he's working in the administration. And I'd always spend the night with him, take him out to dinner and have a few drinks and talk about old times. And I'd drive up and see my folks. And this one day he said, Greg, before we go, he said, I want you to see this fine group of athletes. It's the best group I've ever seen. And I said, what are these? It's the women's gymnastics team. And I said, come on, Dick, let's go get a beer. I don't want to, see them. And so we went down, and he introduced me to Janine. And we ended up, I called her up the next day and asked if I could come down and take her out, and she said yes. And so that's where it started. 2 years later, we got married, and as I say, 42 years later, we had 5 kids and 14 grandkids.
Well, that's
one coming, and the one coming is going to be a Landry, a Landry boy. So,
oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
In 16 to 17 years, I'm sure he'll be recruited to play some. Hopefully we get him as a Minuteman.
That would be great. Yeah, it's hard for me because we're the Redmen, and I still, every time I think of that, we used to have those bonfires the night before the game, and they used to have the chief all decked out, and there's a pond in UMass, as you see, and he used to come with canoe with a torch, and he'd be... Or they'd have somebody paddling him through the canoe. He'd get out with the torch and light the bonfire. And we used to have those every game, home game. So that was always a great night.
Yeah, college is the best 4 years of life. Sometimes it's don't know when you're there, but
yeah, you remember it.
You do remember it fondly. So again, Mr. Landry, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate. Your support for the hobby and all you do for your fans, and it was really a pleasure talking with you today. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you might want to add?
No, I think that's it. I just like I said, I had a lot of friends that I had met at UMass and still run into them every once in a while, and it's always a thrill to run into them because I live out here in the Michigan area, and we have a home in Maine, in Kennebunk Beach, Maine. We have a house, and so sometimes I'll see some of the kids, some of the guys up in that area. So it's always fun to go back not that you met, but to that area. That's where I grew up. So it's really a nice area. So I always love to get back.
Well, our call today covered all the three things that I love: UMass, football, and collecting. So it was a truly a pleasure, and I thank you for your time and granting me this interview. You have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Okay, nice meeting with you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Well, that wraps up episode 30. That's right. We made it to 30 episodes, guys. I want to thank you all for downloading, listening, sending us suggestions, being guests on our program, and just helping us each and every week trying to make an interesting program. So I want to thank Mr. Greg Landry for joining us. And my name is Jeff Baker. I am your host. If you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Just to remember, next week we will be having another episode. We will be talking to the new editor for Sports Collectors Digest. That's right, Sports Collectors Digest. The new editor will be joining us. We will be having a review of all the cool things that I get and cool happenings at the Greater Boston Sports Collectors Card Show this weekend, and maybe even a few more surprises. So tune in next week and then download our show. I want to thank Sports Card Forum for their continued support, and as always, I want to thank you, the listener, for hanging in there. Wishing you many happy returns. See you next week.